Right, councillors, I'll just get you to take your seats and I'll declare the meeting open at 9:31. I'd like to acknowledge our Quandamooka people, our traditional custodians, the land in which we meet this morning, and we pay respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians who may be present here this morning. Just a reminder for the members of the public in the gallery this morning that public conduct at our meetings is covered under Section 32 of our standing orders. And that means that all members of the public present at this meeting must not, without the prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with other people present, be suitably dressed, turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting when taking a call. And as chairperson, it's my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at this meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such notice, require that person to leave a meeting and not return for a period that is determined by the chair. And this could actually include future meetings. There is no leaves of absence this morning, but so I'll go straight on to our devotional segment. It's with great pleasure that I welcome our Redlands Minister Fellowship Reverend Jim DeWitt from Redlands Christian Reformed Church to lead us in a brief devotional segment.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Williams, councillors. Thank you for the privilege to be able to do this, to represent the churches and to open this meeting. And on behalf of the churches, I just want to say thank you, first of all, for the work that you do as mayor, as councillors for our city. And just to let you know that we pray for you regularly. We think about you regularly. And we're also impressed with some of the things that come out. We're joining up with your Pledge Not to Sledge as a church with our community as well. So thank you for initiating things like that. But just part of myself, a bit of a confession this morning. I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. And I have been for many, many years. I read The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings when I was a teenager. I forced it on my children. I read The Hobbit to them when they were young. I dragged them to the movies, and they've become fans as well. But I'm a fan of it. But just where it starts with the Fellowship of the Ring, and I was reflecting on that just this morning. You know, you've got this group of people that really, in The Lord of the Rings, don't like each other, actually fight each other all the time. And you've got Frodo with this fellowship of hobbits and humans, a wizard, a dwarf, an elf, and they're on this quest. They have to come together and work together on this quest to take the ring across Middle Earth and to see it destroyed in Mount Doom. If you want to know the story, you can watch the movies or read the books. But this crew, they on this journey, they have to fight all their way all the way across. So they have to fight against external forces that come at them all the time. But I think the biggest thing they had to deal with was internal stuff. That internal dissension and mistrust that came about because they, for centuries, they've been fighting each other. And the fellowship begins to fracture because of some of these things. There's abrasiveness and there's friction, there's selfishness, and the mission is compromised many, many times until they could find a way to understand the different skill sets and things that they bring together, and they can fight together. And they can make it through and finish their quest. And I think about that as in our churches, that in churches where a group of people would have to come together and find a way to work together and to sort of on our mission. But I think as a council, it's similar. You've got people from different backgrounds, different understandings, different areas of life coming together and finding a way to work together on the mission that you have, which is the betterment of Redlands City. And what is best for us as residents of the city. And sometimes your mission is challenged externally. There are challenges to the way that you operate and things that you do internally because you have differences of opinion and directions in which things should go. And it happens. And the challenge is, how do we work through that? How do you work through it so your mission is not compromised? And I think you all know what I'm talking about when you're trying to work together. And it's, how do you do it? How do you work with people who are internally, externally, they sometimes get under your skin, they don't understand me, we're not getting on the same page, you know, how do I deal with those people? But thinking that through, how am I coming across to them? Because I'm sure that if people irritate me, I know that I irritate people. So how do we work together? How do we overcome those things? What does it look like? And so there I came across a verse that Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes to the church in Ephesus. And he writes to them, he wants them to be working together, and he says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So you find that in Ephesians 4. Paul says, bear with one another in love. That means you've got to put up with each other. That's what the word means. Put up with each other in love because you're working on the same thing. And we understand that no one's perfect. None of us are close to perfect. And so how do we adjust our expectations and our things to work together? And he says that it takes work. He says, make every effort. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. So it takes hard work. It doesn't come easily. But he gives three keys in how we can do that. He says, be completely humble, gentle, and patient. So first is, practice that sense of humility. You know, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to, it says somewhere else in Scripture. So put yourself on the same plane as everybody else so that you are working together, not one above the other. Because you can't, I guess, lovingly bear with each other if all you're doing is thinking about how irritated you are by someone else. It's that idea of coming down to the same level. He says, be gentle. The idea of gentleness is consideration and courtesy for the people that you are working with. And he says, have patience, self-restraint. It's another part, he talks about that being long-suffering. So it's this journey that you're on. And it takes work to bring those things into the work that we do together. And I found a quote from Emperor Marcus Aurelius. He was not only was an emperor around 120 to 180 AD, he was an emperor, he was also a philosopher. And he writes this: when you wake up in the morning, tell yourself, the people I deal with today will be meddling, ungrateful, arrogant, dishonest, jealous, and surly. There's a philosopher writing. They're like this because they can't tell good from evil. But I've seen the beauty of good and the ugliness of evil and have recognized that the wrongdoer has a nature related to my own. So I'm the same. Not of the same blood or birth, but the same mind and possessing and sharing of the same. So I don't let any of that hurt me. And then he says, nor can I feel angry at my relative or hate him. We were born to work together. Like feet, hands, and eyes, like the two rows of teeth, upper and lower. To obstruct each other is unnatural. To feel anger at someone, to turn your back on these, on him, these are obstructions. And so he says, we've got to work together. This is a philosopher saying, you know, people are going to be like this, but we're hands, feet, eyes. We work together. We're top and bottom teeth. Without each other, you can't chew your food. So our lives would be different if we accept this and work through things like this. You know, because the question is, how do you respond when these things come your way? Because it's your reaction that's going to determine how the relationship goes. And he says, we can't be there to obstruct one another. So one of the secrets of successfully working together is to recognize that we're all different. Some of us are more like hobbits or dwarves or elves or humans or wizards. You know, if you want to take that analogy, but we all come with different things and we all need to work together. We're all part of, here in this council, but also in the city, we're all part of the fellowship of the ring, if I want to keep pushing the analogy. And God blends these personalities and idiosyncrasies and gifts and talents and experiences into something that works together, something that has value, which is Redland City Council. So I just wanted to just to leave you with a thought like that. So let me lead you in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you. We thank you for this beautiful city, Redland, that we're privileged to call home. We thank you for its natural beauty and its wonderful infrastructure, and we thank you for the freedoms and opportunities that we can experience here. We thank you for this city council, Lord. We thank you for this different group of people that are brought together on a mission, brought together to work for the good of this city. And Lord, we just pray, as Paul writes, that they would be completely humble and gentle. Lord, that they would be patient, that they would bear with one another in love, that they would make every effort to work at unity. Lord, we pray that As this meeting gathers to deliberate and decide on important issues relevant to this city, bless and guide them through the grace of your Spirit. We pray for our mayor, the various levels of city officials, and in particular this assembled council. Lord, we pray that they'll have joy in the task to which they've been called, recognizing that they have a privilege that's been entrusted to them. Pray that you'll bless them with your wise and caring spirit. I pray that they'll be able to set aside concerns, that they'll be able to work together to serve the common good of Redland residents, to honour the purpose for which they've been elected. Lord, may this meeting be conducted with a spirit of mutual respect. And I pray, Lord, for the agenda before them today. Give them assurance of what would please you, what would benefit those who live and work in this city. May they be fair in their judgments, wise in their actions, with a clear conscience. Lord, bless them, we pray. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, councillors. And I didn't give Reverend Jim a heads up on anything. He just came up with that themselves this morning, just in case you're wondering. It's always the way. Recognitions of achievement. Now, I believe a couple of councillors would like to acknowledge some of our athletes. Councillor Tolte?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry, I've just let my computer go to sleep on me.
Do you want me to step? Oh, do you want me to go?
No, that's okay. I'm right to go. Thank you. I'd like to note, and I'm sure there are other people across the community who have been fortunate enough through their endeavours to qualify for the Com Games, but we did just find out this week who the swim team were, and I really would like to acknowledge from Division 6, we have a wonderful young man. His name's Liam Hunter. And I've known Liam since he was about 5 years old, and he has just qualified for two events in the Com Games, and his family are very, very proud of him, and rightly they should be. And like all of the swimmers that are there, his mum's been getting up at dawn of every day for many years, taking him to swimming training, and so it's a big achievement, and I'd really like to acknowledge Liam for all of his effort and the fact that he's achieved that jersey. Also, we have another swimmer from Mount Cotton, Paige Leonhart, and Paige has overcome incredible adversity. And she's been chosen to swim in the Commonwealth Games team for the Paralympics. Paige, unfortunately, when she was a very small child in a pram with her mum, was hit by a car and has had to overcome a brain injury and physical injuries. And she's a very dedicated young lady, and she's made a really great life for herself with great friends. And she works really hard setting goals, and she has qualified for the Com Games. And I think that really deserves recognition here today. So thank you.
Definitely. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. And following on from the front page of our Redland City Bulletin just recently with our Muddy's Girls in Division 8 from Judy Holt Park, our women's rugby, we can't not mention those women again. Shannon Parry is a current rugby player at Muddy's, and Shani Williams is a past player. Both women co-captained our Olympic gold medal team. We're very, very, very proud of these two women, and they're again going to co-captain our Commonwealth Games team. So good luck to all our team, the whole Commonwealth Games team, but our locals, we really hold them in our heart when they're on the screens. Thank you.
Thank you. And I guess in the absence of knowing every individual that will be representing our country at the Commonwealth Games next month, we obviously are very proud of all those people and understand the great contribution and dedication that they make to be at the top of their sport. And I know we've had many come through this chamber that we've acknowledged, people like Daniel Fox. So I guess we'd love to mention all of them, but we don't exactly know who they are, but As the Commonwealth Games roll out, I'm sure that we can further acknowledge those people when we recognise them. So thank you. Are there any other recognitions of achievement. I think that was it for us today. Great. Moving on to the receipt and confirmation of minutes of the meeting of the 21st of February 2018. Can we have a mover and seconder, please, that those minutes be confirmed? Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Any items of correctness? Are there being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Matters outstanding from previous general meetings, over to the CEO.
Two items there, Madam Mayor. One is up for discussion today, and that's the petition on Toondah Harbour. The other one on the request for report on the area surrounding the Birkdale School of Arts. It'll be one of the meetings either side of Easter. I'm told it'll come to council.
Thank you, CEO. Moving on to public participation. Now, we have had some people write to us and ask to address council this morning, so if I could get a mover and seconder, please, that the meeting adjourn for a, I might make it a 20-minute public session, if that's okay, councillors, so we don't need to come back and ask for more, allowing members to address council on matters of local government interest. So moved Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Just before we ask the first speaker to come forward, you may have noticed the signage in the chamber regarding public participation at meetings, and it is Council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address us to state their name and suburb or the organisation which they represent and the subject that they would like to talk to us about. This information will be recorded in our minutes of the meeting, which is a public document and available for inspection at Council's Administration Building and published on Council's website. I also advise that the meeting is being recorded in audio video and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing the meeting will state their name and suburb or organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless you're unable to do so. Act and speak with decorum, be respectful and courteous, make no comments that are directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. And as chairperson, it's my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address this council meeting. Also give priority to members of the public who have made a written application to the CEO to address the meeting and determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak and the time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes depending on the number of speakers, and I also have a responsibility to withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. Just a reminder that debate or discussion cannot be entered into in this public participation segment. If you require a hearing loop, please let us know if you're hearing impaired and we'll bring the microphone to you and we'll ask you to stand in the gallery. Our first speaker this morning is a very young and very courageous young lady called Sienna Plant. She's a resident of Mount Cotton and she's actually going to talk to us about autism awareness. So, Sienna, if you'd like to come up to the microphone and just state your name and your suburb or the organisation that you represent. And then you can start when you're ready.
Hi, my name's Sienna Plant, and I'm from Mount Cotton. I'm a grand finalist in the Miss Junior Diamond National Pageant, and I'm trying to raise awareness for autism spectrum.
I'll just get you to speak up a little bit, Sienna, so we can hear you.
Did you know that every 4 hours, an Australian child is diagnosed with autism? 1 in 100 Australians of all ages has an autism spectrum disorder. Autism affects almost 4 times as many boys than girls, therefore it's rare for me to have it. People with ASD don't look any different, therefore it can be difficult to know when you are dealing with someone that has ASD. They may outwardly display differences such as inability to make eye contact with you, or they may appear to not be listening to you when you are speaking. They might find it difficult to concentrate when there is excessive sound or stress. They may rock back and forth when they are very nervous and flap their hands when they're done. They may grunt occasionally instead of using words and find it difficult to understand your body language. They may get extremely angry at the slightest change in your team. They get angry and sometimes violent if they feel trapped, misunderstood, or that they are not being given a fair go. And they may freak out if you touch them. Yes, I have ASD, and you probably wouldn't have noticed, because I don't look any different, however, I occasionally act different. Yes, I can be too loud at times, and I freak out really loud sounds, in particular in confined spaces. I have extreme anxiety, and you may be asking, if that is the case, how can I stand before you and request your assistance in understanding ASD? Quite simply put, I'm acting. Acting helps me to overcome many of my challenges, and medical specialists also help me at various times in my life. Autism Spectrum Australia Aspect is the largest not-for-profit provider of autism services in the country. Being on the autism spectrum is lifelong. There is no cure for the differences in the brain that cause ASD. You can help that make a difference by making a donation to Autism Spectrum Australia. You can do this online by clicking on the Shop Now link on my Facebook page, Sienna Plant is Junior Diamond National Finalist. You can also be open-minded and aware that everyone is different. Be clear and easy to understand and patient. Reach out to people with ASD and be sensible. Think of nails down on a blackboard. It's not something you don't like but cannot bear. Be mindful that the sensory environment is an accessibility issue for people with autism. Provide reassurances and be adaptable. People with autism are expected to adapt to the world around us. So come to the party and be willing to adapt your behavior around people with autism. By becoming aware of ASD, you have now taken the first step towards building an inclusive society. However, being aware and understanding are two very different things. So if you wish to learn more, then do some research and contact Autism Spectrum Australia. The Council can help by considering autistic needs when planning community events and structures, and also having festivals of quiet time with all the funds for autism people. Thank you for your time.
I know this is highly unusual, but Councillor Tolte did tell us about this young girl and her courage, and I was wondering, with her mother's permission and her permission, perhaps she'd like to have a photo with you taken, just to show what can be done with determination, with everybody in the background.
Sure, I think maybe we'll take the photo that way, and that way everyone can be in it, because I've already had a photo with Sienna. I was fortunate enough this morning
to do
that.
With her mother's permission.
Is that okay, Sienna? Are you happy? And Ms. Plan, you're happy with that? Okay, well, we'll just take a quick break to take that photo. Our next speaker that has requested through the CEO to address us this morning is Anthony Maloney. Anthony, is Anthony here? Hello, Anthony. Would you like to just come up to the microphone? Thanks. Anthony, I think you know the drill. Name, suburb, organisation you represent. You might just want to start when you're ready.
Anthony Maloney from Mount Pleasant, representing myself. Thank you, Madam Chair and councillors, and residents humbled by the last bit. I'm here to talk about the Barra Quarry. I understand it's been subject to a call-in, and the works has just started. The quarry was never about resource availability for the residents. Within the Redlands, you already have one of the largest quarries in southeast Queensland, and only 5 to 8% of that resource is used within the Redlands. Within 30 k's of say, Mount Cotton, there's enough resource for southeast Queensland for at least 100 years. So it's all about competition in the end. And what we've done is we've taken one of the prettiest locations in the Redlands, and we're going to dig it up as a quarry. What I want to talk to you today is about the impact that's starting to have both on residences and local businesses. And the impact is around dust, trucks and noise. There's an impact on values. Now, the residents around the quarry have had their values knocked back to this date at least 30%. Now, what if I went to Barra Group down in Melbourne and I said, I'm going to write down your assets 30% and give it back to the residents? But what we've effectively done is taken the value of the properties around the quarry, written them down and handed it to Barra in terms of valuation of that quarry. If we look at an impact on some of the local businesses, and if we look at Sue at Mount Cotton Retreat, she asked for an extension. And the Barra board have taken it upon themselves, and this is directly from a member of the board, that they're going to oppose any development, not only within the separation zone, but but in the surrounding area, because Sue's development application was just outside the separation zone. Now, one of the reasons that the managers gave for her for doing that was that they felt it was unsafe for her to use her pathways on her property for residents or guests. Now, how ridiculous is that? But talk about Melcare, my business. We run a virtual manufacturing business. We make medical devices. We're in pharmacies downstairs, in pharmacies across Australia, and we export to the US, into the Middle East, inland, and the United Kingdom. That's one of our products. The address on it says Mount Cotton, and also it says our subsidiary company in the United Kingdom. 12 of these has the equivalent value of one truckload of gravel, to put it in perspective. It's regulated as a medical device, and we deal directly in New York with Pfizer, Taiho in Japan, Ergo in France, and other companies. Now, those companies have a revenue value of probably something in excess of $70 billion. When I have a conference call, I'll have 12 people internationally on a conference call. What do? They all go into Google Earth and have a look at it to get their heads around the fact that we run as a virtual business. When I say we run as a virtual business, we use local manufacturers to make our product, do our printing, do our distribution, do our clinical work. We do clinical research at QUT. So the value of this doesn't go into fuel costs so much, but it goes into local jobs, clinical research, high value. And we play off the fact of our location. And it's wonderful because in over the coming years, we're going to be within 180 metres of a quarry that's going to be a kilometre long. So when they go back into Google Earth, it's going to be great. We've had an envoy coming for the president of the Japanese company. He's been several times and comes to our property at Mount Cotton, because we're looking at ways of getting the product into Japan and into China. Now, he loves it. I mean, he talks about our little friends when he comes out with kangaroos and that. And this is a company that has a turnover of something like $1.8 billion. Their corporate brochure, they make a huge play the fact that they're rehabilitating in Japan 12 hectares of land. 12 hectares. So when they come to see us, they're just overwhelmed by it. On his last visit, the quarries started developing works next door, and we've got trucks digging a road down. It's over a kilometre away, digging a road down into the quarry base. Sound levels are around about three times background noise. And so the obvious question from him is, what's that noise from? And we say they're putting a quarry next door, because we go overlook it. And they can't get their head around why we would do that. Beyond them. This is going to be a hiatus in the community for the next 60 years. Right? And it's just going to get, this is just the beginning. You know, my daughter, went over California Creek last week, and I've had umpteen phone calls since. It's running yellow. Right? Because where's the control? Now, they started works in there, and they're putting sedimentation into California Creek, Logan River, into the bay, and then what happens to the marine grasses. So we've got issues within 2 weeks from starting work. Well, irrespective of your political persuasion, for the first time ever, we have a local member covering that covers all the affected area of Mount Cotton and Cornubia. That's a senior member, senior minister in the current government. For the first time, we have the political persuasion in the state to do something about it. The quarry is toxic to the community, toxic to businesses and development in the area, that's more sympathetic to the environment, and it's toxic to the residents. Now, that quarry is going to be asking for an extension to works. What if you just said no? Give it back to the state story. I know it's a calling. What if you condition the development application with that extension? I mean, when we complained about the noise, and I said it three times about background noise, we were told by, we were thrown around different departments, we finally landed at the council, that there's no noise restriction on the level of noise, apart from the fact they can't start before 6:30 or go after 6:30 at night. So they could put a bulldozer on every resident's boundary and run it, whatever noise they like, and there's no noise restriction. That's what we were told. That's completely unacceptable to us as families, unacceptable to our businesses. So what I want to leave here today, because I don't want to sort of just leave, let's go on to the next agenda. You you have a really unique opportunity with a senior minister that looks after that area to make a difference and for the benefit of everyone and this community long term. Start here. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Mrs. Evelyn Cook. It's Evelyn. Hello, Evelyn. Sorry. Mrs. Cook, if you just don't mind approaching the microphone and start with your name and suburb or the organisation that you represent. Thank you.
My name is Evelyn A. Cook. I live in Victoria Point. And the reason we are here today is the issue of the dangerous trees in Sea Holly Crescent. It has this, these trees have been, I would think, have been in the past approved by council, and that is why all of these trees that we're going to talk about, or I'm going to talk about, are on the nature strip through the Crescent. We have only been in Victoria Point and Sea Holly Crescent for about 9 years. And we have seen trees that have fallen over across roads, across other people's properties, and they continue to do this. They are a very tall tree. The one in our property is about 19 metres tall and more to go, I believe. A lot of the trees that have fallen have been diseased, and the trees that even as late as yesterday morning, the council have been at the bottom of our part of the crescent, and two trees were lopped right down, and another two, I believe, have been marked because they are diseased. It is very worrying to us that these trees, at the size they are and still growing, have got the that is up to today. It is just good luck and not good management that a tree hasn't fallen across the road over a car or over a child on a bike, that sort of thing. It is a worrying thing that this happens. Our roads aren't very wide. So when a tree that size comes down, it goes a very long way. We have put a petition in to the council, and I am the main petitioner, and that's why I'm speaking today. We also have the wondrous thing from these trees that they produce and put on our lawns daily thousands of seed pods, thank you. I'm very nervous. I shouldn't be the first one up here, but I've just got the job, so please do. The seed pods, and they have got a spike on them. Now, we can't use our front lawns at all. Our grandchildren can't be out there because they go through the shoes and everything. I did have a video to show the council how dangerous they are, but when you put, you can't walk on these things, and we have a blow, you know, to suck things up and that to make them more capable of using our front lawn. But it gets even more exciting when we introduce a lawnmower to it. What is it? Yeah, no. The actual mower picks these up and makes sure that they are an airborne problem for us. I have got a couple of things here. We always wear glasses. We are constantly mowing, so we don't let our grass in. And I still have another people. I've got one. All of these wonderful things. And we, my husband, who was a professional hunter in New Zealand for a very long time, gave me this wonderful thought that when that projectile leaves the mower blade, it is actually moving at the same as a small gun, a handgun. Now, that by itself makes this a very dangerous situation for us day in and day out. I know at least twice a week, and it is dangerous. And it's also flying out onto roads and so forth. So please, we have asked before to have these trees that are not good for our area, and I got so upset about and worried about what we had that we went to an arborist. The arborist has identified the tree as a brush box, and they're telling us that these trees will grow to at least 30 metres, if not more. They should never, ever be put in a residential area because of the diseases they get, the height they go to, and all of these pods that are very dangerous to anybody that is around when we are mowing. We're not the only people that have them, so there are thousands and thousands of these projectiles that are there. They said the only place that the brush box should be is in, in bushland, because there is none of the dangers. We implore the council to see our plight. We are not against trees. We would love to have trees, the trees that we can live with. So please don't dismiss us another time. We had a very, very, two people only said that they didn't want to sign our petition. Two people. And it was about the birds. We want the birds back, and we want trees and our to green. So all I can do is tell you it is not a good place. It's a beautiful place, but it's a dangerous place for us.
Thank you, Mrs. Cook. Mr. McDonald, if you'd like to approach the microphone. Mr. McDonald, sorry. So once again, I think you might know the drill, but if you could just state your name, suburb, or the organisation you represent, and your five minutes starts now.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't suppose my attendance here this morning is any surprise for most people here. I was impressed with the Minister's initial reference to the Lord of the Rings, and I'm a bit of a Mark Twain fan. Mark Twain once said, buy land, not making more of it, but it's obviously Mark Twain hadn't come to Toondah Harbour. Now, our concerns are around following on our petition that was lodged last year and the Council's deliberation today on that petition. Our concern, actually, though, primarily is with the report that's been prepared in response to our petition. We have actually prepared a document. We call it our 10 points. Hopefully I can leave a copy with the councillors when they actually are considering this agenda item. So I'll move quickly through our 10 points and ask perhaps that you consider these issues when you are addressing the agenda item concerning the petition. In terms of community support, I think we've been tested and we've asked the council and so forth, those sorts of questions bounce around in media. But in terms of the commission and the petition, we'd ask, what evidence does the council have that the community supports the proposed PDA development as now envisaged by the Walker Corporation? The online poll by the Redland City Bulletin found that 85% of the respondents want the PDA abandoned. The EPBC consultation showed that for 1,411 submissions, 8 were in favour. Community concerns relate to the scale, location, environmental impact. It's not just koalas and shorebirds that people are worried about. It's traffic, congestion, noise, and other construction disturbance, the lack of social infrastructure, and the loss of views and local amenities. Has the council considered commissioning an unbiased professional assessment of community attitudes on this development? PDA boundaries. The initial boundaries were arbitrary, and when the Walker Corporation's plans finally appeared, the whole of the PDA area was consumed and areas outside the PDA were shown as supporting the urban development. That was a complete surprise to the community, which was not consulted in that addition. Why did the council agree to a massive increase in the development footprint without first consulting the community? The EPBC assessment report sets out that the Walker Corporation actually withdrew its first referral. It lodged a new referral, which is totally headed in a residential development. It makes no reference in its heading and definition about commercial, port or retail development. We didn't see that these changes affect a deliberative decision by this council. The mayor, in fairness, made a submission in her interest, which is acceptable, I suppose, but the councillors never considered those changes and made a deliberative decision about them. Why didn't the council make its own submission in the public interest on the EPBC referral? Wanham Creek, the state government, has recently spent more than $8 million upgrading the bus ferry exchange. In exchange, the council announced the purchase of nearby land at something like $3 million. How much improvement at Toondah Harbour could be achieved with a similar investment by state and local government? The Cleveland CBD. Threats to the viability of the city were raised by us at the meeting in November. We did follow that up, seeking a copy of the report that was referred to in the media. We got a three-line extract or something from the report. But why wouldn't the study be made available? Why can't we actually see the full report? Its context, its background, its research, its documentation that matters, not an extract of 3 or 4 lines. I just don't think that's an acceptable response to what I thought was a reasonable request. We're not even sure that the Cleveland traders have seen the report. It just amazes me that a report which goes on commercial realities or something, some assessment of commercial impact, is used. And even if that report was right, even if the narratives that are written down and prohibiting future development of enterprises down at Toondah, complete with the CPD, my understanding of the planning situation in Queensland, economic competition is not a factor in planning decisions. I prefer to perhaps someone else in the room who could confirm that or not. The due diligence report referred to by the council's report appeared to have been done very quickly. I'm assuming it was done after the decision to support the project in December, and in March, there's a due diligence assessment made. It's our expectation that such a due diligence report on a project of $1.4 billion would not be able to be done in 2 to 3 months, especially over Christmas. So not having seen those reports, of course, I hope every councillor has closely looked at the due diligence reports and looked closely, I suspect, at lots of waivers, lots of caveats, and lots of exceptions to their liability in terms of whether that report is a realistic offset to the development as is occurring and as is changing as we speak.
Just reminding Mr. McDonald, you're up to 6 minutes, so if you might just want to sum up, that would be great.
Sorry, Mr. McDonald. Infrastructure charges...
Excuse me? I'll just refer you to the standing orders in public, for the public, to their attendance at this meeting. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Your final minutes.
Well, I won't... I'll perhaps leave our 10 points with the councillors, if that's okay. I'll sum up by saying that the... our concern is actually the authors of this report, the Regional Residents Investment Corporation, is a commercial entity owned by the Queen or by the Council, but in its corporate documents it says it will act as the Council's preferred commercial consultant on the Toondah Harbour development. If that's not a conflict of interest, I don't know what is. Should councils have been given advice by a broader range of expertise than perhaps the Council's own internal legal and planning fraternity rather than rely on the officer's report offers two options: a note the report, very classic bureaucratic response, or seek more information. Both are equally disappointing at this stage after 5 months, the commission being there, but we would be very concerned if the full range of options are not put before the council and considered, including excluding or ending this proposal with the help of perhaps the state government. We're sure there are many more options. The assertion in the report that there is no option until the commercial development proposed by Walkers is completed seems commercially naive. If that's the basis of the contract, the problem is bigger than we thought. Good luck, councillors. I have some empathy with all of you in making a decision based on the report that you currently are considering. We hope you can actually put some effort into thinking through that report and the implications of that report in response to the clear voice of your community in that submission. We needed 10 names to get this report submission to the petition in for you. We got nearly 1,400. We did not pursue people. They sent them to us. With that, I'd ask perhaps, if I don't mind, soon come still looking at me, to either leave the 10 points in full before you, perhaps to consider your deliberations.
Councillors, I'll ask for a motion, please, that the meeting proceedings are resumed. Moved, Councillor Gleeson. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Petitions and presentation, councillors. We have Councillor Hewlett that would like to table a petition.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a petition here submitted by the Speaker this morning, Mrs Cook, concerning the removal of trees from Sea Holly Crescent.
Do you have a motion there, Councillor?
Yeah. The motion is to remove the brush box trees from Sea Holly Crescent as they have become of a size approximately 14 metres high and to be of danger to property and residents.
That doesn't sound like the motion to
That's
me, Councillor.
Sorry to be so. Well, I want to talk to it first, or...?
No, you need to move the motion first, and then you can talk to
sorry,
it.
Sorry, the petition is of an operational nature and be received and referred to the... Excuse my voice. ..of the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
So move, Councillor Hewlett. Seconded, Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to it now, Councillor Hewlett?
Sorry, Madam Mayor. The petition is to remove the brushbox trees from Sea Holly Crescent as they have become of a size approximately 40 metres high to be of danger to property and residents. I have met with the residents, I've met with Eve on a number of occasions over the last few years concerning the brushbox trees in her area, and I do empathise with their problems because the spikes on those seed pods are quite dangerous. The other issues that Eve didn't allude to was the damage to council infrastructure, and I know there are a lot of trees out there. We've even got a tea tree program, removal program at the moment throughout the city, because we've recognised perhaps some of the footpath trees we've installed on people's properties are not quite appropriate for urban environments. So it's a legacy that we have, and it's a very expensive legacy to try and address. So I mentioned to the residents that I'm not in a position as a councillor to direct any officer operationally, and that the best option for them would to be to address this through the CDO. I think it was Eve's decision to get a petition going and bring it to council to present this morning, which I thank her for the consideration of the CEO's office. Thank you.
Are there any speakers against? a question?
I just wonder if we know whether the residents were presented with council's option of asking for support from the street and having the tree removed at their own expense. We have a policy for that.
Apparently that policy was never officiated, because I spoke to Dave, to our senior parks officer about it, and he said he wasn't aware that policy was ever formalised.
Yeah, that policy definitely exists.
What I did forget to mention, and thanks, Julie, for raising that, is Councillor Telty, sorry, is that I have spoken to senior parks officer who said he would do a complete... It is on. We'll do a complete... You just want me to leave it? I just wanted to alert the residents that I have spoken to senior officers about this particular issue, and they are prepared to do a complete audit of the street, check the health and the nature of the trees in question. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor. I'd like to move that we bring 11.2.3 petition to Council on Toondah Harbour brought forward for the first item, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Councillors. Good morning. As you can see, agenda item 11.2.3 is the presentation of the petition to Council on the Toondah Harbour proposal. I certainly commend the Chief Petitioner, the signatories and the Speaker this morning on that. The petition, Council, is really only on two issues. So to put forward right now, I haven't prepared a response to the 10 points. The petition requests Council make two decisions. One is to withdraw the support on the Toondah Harbour proposal, and one is to work with the state government on the on a new plan for that area. The officer report recommends against making those decisions. Now, in summary, the officer's report says making those decisions now would be premature. If you like, it would be counterintuitive to make a decision on a proposal which currently hasn't finished its process. It's currently out of phase at a key point in its process, including the environmental impact assessment. So it's during this process over the next 12 months we're likely to get better information, broader community engagement, and a stronger position, if you like, to advocate on our support or otherwise with that proposal. Secondly, in summary, Madam Chair, the probity controls around this proposal has been going on from late 2013, early 2014, when the area plan was subject to public consultation over multiple mediums, engaging, I believe by memory, 3,000 people. Now, to go against that proposal at this stage, without that further information, we would say is against the probity principles, regardless of the contractual relationships, regardless of the legal framework. Now, if I can just say a little bit, in the report, you can see some of that legal framework. It's not only about planning, traffic issues, density. It's not only about environment impacts. It's actually about broader social issues. It's about native title. It's about cultural heritage. Now, we're in a process right now where we can find out information about those broader aspects. So the officer's recommendation is you don't make the decision right now about withdrawing support and making a new plan. You let the process run. You listen to the evidence and the merit-based decision-making from the science and the experts. As I begin the presentation, I certainly commend the petition. I think putting a spotlight on this very important development is important, and I think the officers have taken on notice that the community is seeking further information. That's, I believe, a fair summary of the report.
Okay, councillors, I'm going to now ask for a mover and a seconder. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
I think, Mayor, what the General Counsel has just said is all that needs to be said. It replies to what the questions were on the petition, and I think there's not much more I could add as far as that goes.
Okay. Speaker against? Councillor Boglari.
Oh, thank you. I agree with the Mayor. What the Minister said this morning is absolutely spot on, and he talked about mission. And I don't think there's one person in this room that doesn't have the same mission here. And that's probably what makes it sad that we haven't been able to work more closely together. No one in this room doesn't believe Toondah Harbour needs doing up. I have a document from 1968 where Cleveland Rotary is down there actually talking about this area needing doing up. And I think that is everyone's vision and mission is to get the actual ferry terminal done up. How the money is raised to actually afford that is where we're having a bit of argy-bargy. So how to move forward, which is also what the Minister was saying today, and make every effort that everybody gets that outcome. And we've all felt like we've had the input and we've been included and we've been on this journey. I don't agree with noting the report, and I have mentioned this because on page 25 it says Council is committed to pursuing the current plan. I think there's going to be a lot of changes in that current plan. It hasn't had approval yet with the environmental studies. So I actually disagree with that line because I think, as Andrew just alerted us, there are going to be many changes along the way. So because of that, I don't want to actually note the report because I think that finalises this. I'd like to keep it open. I'd like to keep consultation with the community open. Where possible, let's keep the talking happening. I would like to, if option one does not get up, I'd like to say that I would like to move option two, that we seek further information from officers. I don't particularly like that wording because it's not just about seeking further information. It's about doing what the Minister said, making every effort that we get that mutual mission, which we're all trying to achieve together. And I was speaking to the Mayor, and I'd actually like to meet who's Peter, from the Walker Corporation. I'd like them to sit down more regularly with us and get our input. We are the voice of the community, and even if we have 11 different opinions, get that into the mix more often, get it more inclusive, and really start working forward together. And the community, it's not just those people on that actual survey. Every time I have a community chat at fortnightly, someone will ask me about Toondah Harbour. There's a lot of mums and dads out there who aren't a member of any group, who really don't follow, local council whatsoever, but they're all concerned about Toondah Harbour for one reason or the other, whether it's traffic, whether it's environmental, whether they go to Stratty and they don't want to come back and see all sky rises. But everyone, again, agrees that something needs doing there. So I'd like to go for option two, to keep the communication open and reassure the community that we will make every effort to to keep them involved where possible. I know there's commercial and confidence and everything else, but I'd just like to flag that if option one does go down, I'd like to have option two, just to make sure that we are doing exactly what the Minister said, and that is making every effort.
Speaker four, Councillor Edwards.
Thank you, and I thank legal counsel's input to say where we are. To me, this really is a matter of process where we are. It's not a decision-making point of time. Council's got a corporate responsibility to be seen operating at the highest standard of ethics as possible, and entering into a contract is one of those standards that we must ensure that we abide by. And it's particularly interesting that on page 25 under the issues that there's a significant sentence here that council will be, if we withdrew from the contract without letting the due process go through, council will be required to pay to the Walker Group and EDQ the sum of money that could have been made from the project. Now, to me, there would be no way any rational councillor would make a decision to put the ratepayers of this city on such a precarious amount of unknown funds that would have to be paid. We're in just a point of time to let the process go through. When we've got the information, the scientific information, all the reports come back to us, then we'll be in a position to make a decision and influence where we might go to from the future. So it's all a matter of timing. The timing at this point of time is something that all I can recommend is we just note the report and let the process play out, and then we will come to a point of time when we can make more informed decisions.
Speaker against, Councillor Bishop.
Madam Mayor, similar to many of the other councillors, the overwhelming need to have Toondah Harbour as a functional port for the future of the city, the history, present and the future is going to be critical. And I think the impacts across the city are things that we all need to be very mindful of. And as Councillor Baglari has said, and it's very evident, the cost of doing that does require someone to foot the bill. And so I understand our going down this path. What I'd like to do, because I also understand entirely what Councillor Edwards has said, that we want to abide by the highest ethics possible in managing this. There's three questions I'd like to ask, if I may, and one is to ask for those who are in the room that might not be aware of just how the function and structure works of the decision-making panel. And if I could ask officers to describe the EDQ Council in its relationship with Redlands Investment Corporation and Walker, just how that works. Second question, in terms of the commerciality and commercial and confidence matter, can we have that clarified in terms of what we are able to speak about? And my third question is in relation to addressing what we, the elected representatives, are to do, which is to ensure that the community's desire for that open, robust, best practice and good governance, due diligence, is in place. Can we just align where the options are for consultation and how they have aligned previously and subject to the various dates of decisions to go down various paths? There might be a bit of detail in that. But I think it's very important that the community does see that clarity in place. So I can go back to those questions if needed. But
I'll ask
point of order.
Your point of order, Councillor.
None of those questions are relevant to the
debate.
Fishing.
Well, I'm going to allow an explanation to those questions. I am going to insist, as Chair, that you, understanding your standing orders, that you stick to the item that's in front of you. But those questions have been put, and I'll ask the General Counsel to respond.
Thank you.
Briefly.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll do my best. Certainly, the first question in regard to the assessment. We're not actually at an assessment phase, yes, with EDQ. We're actually at an environmental assessment stage with the Commonwealth, and we need to hear from the Commonwealth what their methodology is, how they're going to carry out that assessment process. So we need further information from the Commonwealth at this stage. In terms of commercial...
Andrew, if you could, that will include consultation, correct? Public engagement.
Yeah, that will include consultation. As I said at the beginning, what we'd like to seek from them is a timeline for that process, and then when will be the community consultation. Certainly, they've indicated the community consultation. Now, commercial and conference, as you know, this is a tender process. It was started from an expression of interest. This is a significant project. Significant due diligence has been done in terms of the economics around it. It's standard practice that commercial and confidence arrangements retain confidentiality. Certainly, there's information out there in the public arena. That information isn't confidential. In terms of the third question, aligning... Sorry, Councillor? Third question? Okay. Options for consultation?
It was really the consultation that is mentioned here says that there is a range of consultation that happened in 2013-14. Since then, there have been a range of decisions that Council has supported. Just wanted to clarify for the community, while we're in discussion about this, where the options are for consultation and how that aligns with decisions made so far, or noting or endorsement.
The consultation will principally be about the future decisions, which, if you like, a decision is not subject to council, though decisions by the federal government and also by the state government. Now, during those statutory processes for an EIS and for a planning application, if and when that comes, that needs to go through an environmental stage first, they have statutory community consultation phases as part of those two different processes. As you know, through council, we're open to informal public consultation. So there's information on council's website. There's informal responses, what we're occurring today, responses to the public participation.
Okay, so those questions have been answered. Now I'm going to ask for a speaker four.
Oh, sorry.
I think you spoke and asked questions. I did allow a point of order to...
Sorry, there were questions for clarification, and I was going to talk to the item.
Okay.
Is that okay?
I am allowing you to step outside of what has been agreed as standing orders, but please proceed. But please stick to the item in front of us.
Just a process check. I just want to speak to the item itself now. Is that okay? Thank you. So in relation to the petition that's before us, along the lines of what Councillor Baglari suggested, which was if option one is not doesn't get up, because that's the motion that's before us now. With option two, is it possible for these questions that have been put forward to be addressed as part of the process of getting extra information and
I would assume
clarity?
That as a general item of correspondence that an officer could respond to those questions as they have been for the last 5 years. So I would suggest if those questions need to be answered, we'll have a response.
My option.
You don't need a resolution to do that.
Okay. My option is my support is for option two, that council resolve to address these issues so that we can seek further information along the lines of these various questions.
Point of order.
Your point of order, Councillor Elliott.
I can see Wan and Creek mentioned here, Cleveland CBD. It's not relevant to the petition, so
okay.
There's a lot of things that's outside this meeting.
All right, Councillor. I think you've had
the
opportunity.
So questions arising from these.
That can be responded to through the
be
normal process.
In asking.
Thank you. They don't need a resolution to do so. Speaker four, Councillor Mitchell, it sounds like everyone's going to have a natter.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, we'll be supporting noting the report today, but I'd certainly first of all like to acknowledge each and every concern that's been raised. They're really important, really important. And I share some as an individual. Today's not about that. It's about the legal and ethical process that's following through, and that word process. certainly shouldn't be seen as a shield by which any of us are hiding behind today. That's just the reality of what's going on. We have these obligations, and I'm not putting my ratepayers, mums and dads, at risk of any damages. But the process that we're going through today in noting this report doesn't preclude the very important ongoing process of communication with the community, doesn't preclude any further dialogue, any further questions, any further discussions with walkers, with external experts, with each other, with the communities I do every week. So none of that is precluded by noting this report. This is just about going through the legal and ethical process that we have to do today with this report, and in no way does it preclude any of those other things moving forward with our community and with each other. Thank you.
Speaker against, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. However, I believe I'd be contravening standing orders because I was going to speak on several points that Councillor Bishop has just raised. So I don't think we re-prosecute the same questions, but I would be supporting option two with my concerns of how much information is in the community, and I'd be looking for some clarification on that. Thank you.
I believe councillors have had clarification on all of that. Obviously, some of that information, we're bound by the commercial...
Sorry, Mayor, I meant clarification for our community. I'm just reading so many different things of point of views. That's my thoughts. I'll leave it at that.
And that
thank
will,
you.
That's what happens with every decision we make in here, I'm afraid. Okay, so that wasn't a speaker against. Speaker for, Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mayor. Look, I've always supported this project. I still do. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for Redlands. And I'd just like to point out how this came about again. It was to create or to fund an $80 million harbour upgrade at no cost to ratepayers. I think this is a fantastic opportunity. I think it's dragged out way too long, not by our doing, obviously through government processes, but certainly the circles that I get around in and the people that I talk to in Division 9, this project is well supported. In many cases, it's about jobs, jobs, jobs. I certainly will be supporting the officer's recommendation just to note the report, and I hope we get on and build it.
Speaker against, Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to support option two. I concur with the comments made by Councillor Baglari and Councillor Bishop.
Point of order, Madam Mayor. Option two is not being debated.
I say I'll be supporting option two.
Well, I think you won't be supporting option one is probably what you need to say, but that's fine.
Sorry,
I appreciate that.
Thank you for
Others
me.
Have said that.
By
but we are debating the motion that's in front of us, which is to note the report.
I'm actually disappointed with the report because it said if council unilaterally withdraws, I mean, I'm not supporting that we completely withdraw from Toondah Harbour, but I think it requires more negotiation. We've looked at various plans with another development in this city, and we've had reiterations of different things. That doesn't seem to have happened in this case. So I can understand the community's angst. There's a massive community concern out there that I hear and feel in the community. And I just believe this report's not really addressing what the petition is after, and I'm not going to support option one. Thank you.
Speaker four.
Not entirely, Madam Mayor. I was just seeking to make my statement before I depart, if that's possible. I'm not a speaker for. I'd prefer to support option two.
I'm asking for a speaker for at the moment, so I'm sorry. That's the rules. Okay, so councillors, are there any other speakers? Just going to. Well, councillor, you know, I've bent the rules a little bit.
I know, and I appreciate.
And
your
I
leanings.
Appreciate why you might want councillor Golay to stay here.
No, I'm not talking to councillor Golay's. Announcement. It was just something that I wanted to clarify a comment made by Councillor Mitchell, if I may.
I think you can take that offline, Councillor. I think we just continue with the debate. We're almost there, Councillor. So.
No, it was inferred that by not voting for option one, that we're putting a risk to the ratepayer.
Your opportunity would have been to call a point of order at that point, Councillor.
Well, it really wasn't a point of order because he was just saying.
I'm not re-prosecuting the debate. Sorry, I'm moving on with the debate. Thank you. Any other speakers? I'll just provide a little bit of information, if I may, quickly, as was requested. Firstly, really important to note, And it's interesting that there's been a void of information for some time and this petition has brought it to the head. But back in May 2013, this was a unanimous decision of council as a resolution. 20th of November 2013, there was another unanimous decision of this council. 16th of July 2014, another unanimous decision of this council. On the 17th of December 2014, as we're going through the process, which is the process set out by the Economic Development Act, which we all understand because we are obliged to do that when we make those decisions, there was a majority decision of 8-3. 25th of March 2015, it was 8-2, and so it goes. We are now just following through on that process, which was agreed to by all of those resolutions over that period of time, to allow the process to continue. As has been said, consultation, and you've all been told this all along the way because I've been present, that this consultation will continue through those other assessments as we go, including the EPBC Act. Just as we sort of move forward and understand what is happening in that space, because there has been a gap of information and a long period of time, I'm advised that there will be an updated master plan for Toondah Harbour coming out shortly. And that updated plan incorporates various changes which have been informed by stakeholder feedback. The revised plan still addresses the community goals, and those goals are listed on page 25 when we went out to those 3,000 people that were referred to earlier to upgrade the marine channel and a swing basin, a new ferry terminal, ticketing and information facilities, public car parks, a bus interchange, a waterfront plaza, boardwalks, improvement to GJ Walter Park, plus new foreshore parks and water play area, boat and watercraft launching facilities, open space and wildlife corridors, road and cycleway upgrades and sewage, stormwater and trunk water upgrades. They're all the sorts of things that I'm sure Councillor Gleeson's community has been talking to him about and looking forward to, which is what he was referring to. So obviously those community goals need to be achieved. That is part of the agreement that was made by those resolutions and the various legal agreements between the Walker Corporation and EDQ. And they hope to do that while achieving improved environmental outcomes through the reduction of intensity in some of those areas. I remind councillors that this is a legislative process, and we have an obligation, as has been explained, to abide by that legislation. I totally appreciate that for some people it's not a popular decision, but if I can just come back also to the fact that and I'll just go back to the consultation, which has occurred, which has been presented to you already. 3,000 people to start this journey off so that we could do something that was effective for our island communities and for the broader city. So we had, I don't have those figures right here, but the 3,000, I can't tell you how many times the consultation occurred, but over 3,000 people participated. So with that, that gives Councillor Golay an opportunity to make his statement before he leaves, and then I'll hand back to Councillor Elliott to sum up.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. So first of all, it was mentioned about the integrity of the report. First of all, I stand by the integrity of this report and the author who drafted it, and understand that they can only draft this report within the legal constraints. I'd also remind members of the public gallery that this was voted for unanimously or with a vast majority of councillors in last term. And once that happened, it was handed off to the federal government for assessment, and those processes are still getting underway. I'd also refer to page 25, where it clearly states that as with many contracts, there are penalties for withdrawing from the contract, and if council breaches the development agreement, council will be required to pay to Walker Group and the EDQ the sum of money that could have been made from the project. Breach of contract is quite serious, and basically it was also mentioned in passing, without any sort of factual statements, that it could actually send council bankrupt. It's not about whether you're a greenie or not a greenie. The fact of the matter is that this organisation, under the oversight of the last board of directors, made a decision to enter into a contract arrangement with a major development company for the benefit of the entire city. That now has to go through its processes. I understand that from a brief conversation that the CEO of Kayak is supportive of this project, but also wants to see it go through its processes, especially with heritage and cultural impacts. Based on the legal feedback that council's received, that the capacity for us to have input into future plans and designs of this project is available. So therefore, my understanding is that option two is probably better suited for us, unless I'm mistaken and don't quite understand the options. It still leaves us to have the input into the design. And an example of that was raised in particular to one of the verges that's been designed at 18 metres wide leading up to an area.
Councillor, stick to the report. You're not talking. We're not debating the master plan.
Okay. Well, it just gives us scope to modify as we need to in discussions with the developer. So it allows us to go through the processes anyway and get more information as required. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Would you like to sum up, Councillor Elliott?
I think it's been all said. Happy to move it. Move the officer recommendation.
So moved. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Williams, and those against, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hughes and Councillor Bishop. Thank you. Moving on to the next item, councillors. Move Councillor Elliott, which is item 11.1.1. Seconded by Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
I have no comment. Mine have been satisfied, and I'll leave it open to my colleagues.
I understand some of those other questions will be emailed to you, so if we perhaps not raise them on the floor for the questions that have been raised, it will be distributed further detail on what's been reported. Question?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I think it was two meetings ago we had a proposal for an update to the corporate plan, and I just want to find out if we could where the consultation phase for that.
I don't think that's. Sorry, is that a? Are you referring to the something in the report here, Councillor?
Yes.
What page are you at?
In relation to the operational plan, just.
I don't think it's.
You're correct.
The right forum. Okay.
Yep. Operational plan obviously relates to the corporate plan.
Correct,
I just wanted to find out where.
Well, you can take that. I mean, you can take that line, that question offline anytime. I think the officers will help you.
So yeah, just the questions that we've asked yesterday, we think we've.
Yeah, that's coming. That'll be coming back to you. Some have already been answered, and the other detail that you require will be provided to you. It's only further detail to what's already in the report. Okay. So we have a mover. Any other questions? Mover and second. No questions. I'll put no further comments from you, Councillor Elliott. Put the motion. Those in favour. Those against. The motion is carried unanimously, and Councillor Golly has left the room and won't be here, I think, for the rest of the meeting. Item 11.1.2. A mover for that item, please, councillors. Councillor Elliott moves it. Councillor Boglari seconds it. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
No, it's
all Speaker against? Against? Which one?
So yesterday, Councillor Hughes asked about with Wellington Point Bathing Reserve becoming it, and I did speak to it yesterday, and I just sought clarification to make sure I was correct. Under Local Law 4, declaration of a bathing reserve provides jurisdiction for Marine Safety Queensland to prevent motorised boats under the Transport Operations Act 1994 from coming within 60 metres of the declared bathing reserve. So by having those two places now, Raby Bay foreshore and Wellington Point becoming bathing reserves, it will, once it's been properly mapped and there's been public consultation, it'll allow Marine Safety Queensland to keep motorised boats out of that area, which will increase the safety for all the swimmers. So I just wanted to, I thought I was right yesterday, but I just wanted to get more clarification, and thank you to the officers who provided me that overnight.
Oh, thank you very much. Really appreciate that.
Another question, Councillor Tolte?
I just had two quick questions. Does motorised boats include jet skis, or do we need to add them? Oh, includes jet skis?
Includes.
It does? Yeah. Because it's just they're so dangerous in bathing reserves. Sorry, I had to go to the school yesterday, so I didn't hear whether we got an answer on the stock.
It was emailed to you this morning.
Oh, sorry.
So it does mean abandoned in the fashion of abandoned, not just got loose.
Okay, so if someone's stock gets out, they're not going to get two fines.
No.
Okay.
Question, Councillor Bishop.
Mine's more a comment. Obviously, these give important ahead of power rights to officers, and as we go forward and as they are adopted, there's the way that's attuned and applied are things that councillors will have oversight over. And so, yeah, absolutely understand the rolling nature of why local laws need to be attuned to our city's requirements. Thank you.
Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Reid, would you like to sum up? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. You had your hand up, Councillor Hewlett? I'm just checking. I might have missed it. Sorry. We'll just acknowledge that Councillor Gawler is absent from each vote. Item 11.1.3, the Capital Operational Advisory Board. Mover and seconder, thanks. We're up to capital and we haven't got to 2.2. We're at 1.2. Pardon me. Sorry. Okay. Move Councillor Boglari. Seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Oh, just to say that previously, you know, I've sat in on these meetings and I've seen the benefit of them. And a few months ago, I was having a discussion with a developer and we were disagreeing on something. And he actually said, oh, you need to get external advice from people. So I was very glad to actually say we do have these boards, and it's fantastic the knowledge that comes from them. And so we actually got at least one point of agreement in that meeting due to that. But the breadth of knowledge that from these particular board members certainly help advise our officers, and it's also good for councillors to have these people to talk to, and I'm fully supportive of it.
I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 11.2.1, moved Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
I'll just move it, Madam Mayor. 11.2.1, decisions made under delegated authority for categories 1, 2 and 3 development applications. Just move that.
Question, Councillor Tolte?
Oh, I've just noticed an incorrect divisional listing here for aged care facility in Salisbury Street being listed at Division 6. It's in Division 5, and I don't know anything about it. I'm hoping that the Councillor Edwards knows about it and hasn't missed it because it wasn't correctly listed there. I check these lists on the addresses rather than the numbers anyway, but yeah, I've just noticed that.
Can officers just note that correction? It's not fundamental to the process, but it's just for information. Any other questions? Question, Councillor Boglari, sorry.
Oh, just a good one on page 3 of 6. I'd really like to announce that operational works have finally been approved for the canal, the kayak launching pad. Great. So I know that's been going on since 2009. So yes, I would like to do a cheer for that one because we've all been waiting.
Any other comments? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. 11.2.2, councillors, a mover and seconder for the Planning Environment Appeals List. Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Oh, no, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's in the report.
Any discussion, councillors? Councillor Elliott, you have a question?
No.
Oh, you're moving it? I mean, you're voting for it. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Councillor, there's no Merrill Minute, nor are there any notice. Are you trying to preempt notice of motion, which takes us, or urgent business that I'm aware of, so we're going to close session, and we've got a mover to move into closed session. Councillor Elliott, seconded by Councillor Mitchell. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. So with that, if I could just ask the press and the members of the public who are in the public gallery to depart, and thank you for your... On the first item, 16.1.1, a mover and seconder. Thanks. That's the Redlands Investment Corporation quarterly report. Move, Councillor Edwards. Seconder, Councillor Elliott. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 16.2.1, just if we can make sure on the public record that I've declared a conflict of interest, as I and my husband actually are a life member of the organisation and being discussed. And I will remain in the room and vote in the public's interest, the community's interest.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I'd also like to declare a perceived conflict of interest. I'm on the committee of the organisation being discussed, and I too believe I can stay in the room and vote in the public interest.
Thank you. So with that, mover and seconder. Move Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Edwards. Are those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams. Those against, Councillor Elliott. Item 16.3.1, mover and seconder. Thanks for the delegated authority. Move, Councillor Elliott, seconder, Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 16.3.2, the amended motion is moved by... Moved by Councillor Tolte, seconded by Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is... those in favour? It's carried, sorry. Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Gleeson. Councillors, the meeting is closed at 11:42. You might want to welcome back some of our handbag and plastic bag carriers to collect their items. But if I could just thank the officers firstly for the meeting and